Lazarus come forth. Look, a man Jesus gave you. Lazarus is a picture of you and me. When we were given life and we believe, Lazarus come forth. Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. But when the Son of God called out, he came back to life, didn't he? What a powerful salvation God has worked out for each of us. All right, as you may have already came to the conclusion of, we're going to be talking about faith today. Faith is the word today. I had Isaiah read some. Here in Hebrews, we've been talking about the covenants, been studying and teaching on the covenants, as I have listed on the board up here. God made a covenant with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This was the covenant of creation. There was no sin in the world. Then sin came. God made a covenant with Adam. This was a covenant of redemption. After this covenant, all the other covenants fell in line as covenants of redemption. God's plan and perfect design for the salvation of those, as Brother Chuck said, who are written on the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a song out there that says there's a new name in heaven written in the Book of Life today. Let me tell you, if our name has ever been written in the Book of Heaven, it's always been there. See, our God knows everything, past, present, and future, doesn't he? And he's in control of the salvation of our souls. Now, faith, Isaiah read in the first verse of Hebrews 11, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. When you look into this term, good report, you see that it actually means ability. By faith, they received ability to obey God. By faith. That's important. The same is true for us, isn't it? It is. It's by faith, you see. The evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Jesus Christ is called the Word of God, isn't he? Certainly, he was there and created the world. That the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And now, Paul goes through some of our forefathers, and he explains how they accomplished what God gave them to do. How did they do that? Were they great men? Well, in lots of ways they were. But they weren't able to carry out God's direction without strength, spiritual ability from him. It's called faith. Faith. They believed what he said, see. They believed it enough to go by it and to follow what he said and design their life around what God said. They trusted him. And so do we. By faith, verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We all remember that account. Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel both brought sacrifices to God. Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God, and he received it. But Cain's was not. Okay, why not? Well, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Well, we know that Abel was a man and he was the son of Adam, so he wasn't righteous, was he? Not in and of himself, because he was fallen. He got this human nature that we got. He got it directly from his dad, didn't he? So how is he declared righteous? Righteousness is imputed to those who trust in Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. I read that earlier. Who are the just? This is an identifier. The just are a group of people that God has written their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he saves them as his perfect time comes to be. All right. What made Abel's sacrifice better? Here is the key. To everything we teach up here, here's the key. God always gets the glory. Always. He doesn't share his glory with anyone. Nor should he. He's God. He created us. Abel's sacrifice was an innocent animal. And he took the life of this innocent animal. He slew this animal. And he brought this sacrifice to the altar, to present it to God. And this sacrifice represented Jesus Christ. You say, well, way back then? Way back then. The Savior had already been presented to them in the Garden of Eden. They knew they were naked. They made aprons of fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And to them it looked fine. We're good now. He couldn't see her and she couldn't see him. Oh, but God, you see, could see through the works of their hands. The plan that they came up with on their own, the idea that they had to cover up their sin. It seemed to work fine to them, but it didn't work to God because he saw right through those works. The same is true in our salvation. Jesus Christ has already done the work for salvation when he gave his perfect life on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Total trust and faith in him is what we are given when we're given spiritual life. When the Lord saves us. Cain's sacrifice. Well, it did. It grew from God's earth. It did. But what it showed was Cain's ability to farm. Cain's ability to raise plants. And I'm sure they were really good. Probably a lot better than any plants we could grow today because of the condition of the earth today. But you see, that pointed to man's ability. And it gave Cain the praise, not God. Cain was seeking glory, not seeking to give the glory to God. There's the difference. God always gets the glory, see. We always praise him. Did we believe on him to the saving of our soul? We did. Or we're going to. He's drawing us today. If you're saved, he's drawing you into a closer walk with him. If you're not, he's drawing you to him. And he will quicken your heart. And suddenly you'll love him and you'll realize, wow, God is real. He's not just a God, not just the God. But you'll realize he's my God. He hung on that cross for me. For me personally, see. And you'll say, praise God. Because the only way I could have made that decision was if he had changed my heart. Because the Bible says that we were born into sin. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? That our hearts were actually enmity against him before he gave us faith. He gave us faith, see? That's why Abel's sacrifice was acceptable and Cain's was not. God always gets the glory. By faith, verse 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Remember Enoch? That was Methuselah's dad, wasn't it? He lived a long time too, but he didn't die. The witness he had was that he pleased God. God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch pleased God. Who do you think that Enoch believed in? Who do you think that he was found in the sight of God? When God looked at Enoch, who did he see? Did he see Enoch, this heir of Adam that obviously was sinful? He saw Enoch, but he saw him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If he was pleasing to God, it was because God saw him through his Son. We've said many times, and we've asked the question, who is God pleased with? He's pleased with Jesus Christ, isn't he? He's pleased with the one person who never sinned against him. The one person who walked an entire life without that sinful nature. Why didn't he have the sinful nature? Because there was no man involved in his birth. That's why. A virgin birth, a miracle, but reality. It really happened. He pleased God. And he was translated right on up to heaven. Verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. We want to be pleasing to God, don't we? We do. Look what he's done for us. Look what he does for us every day. If it hadn't have been for the staying power of the hand of God, brother, that truck would have run over you. We know that. The enemy is active. But praise God, he can't separate us from the love of our Savior and the strength and the protection that he gives us. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith in what? Faith in the one person that he's pleased with, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? All these things that we go through in our life, these circumstances, these illnesses and sicknesses and pain, confusion. All of these things are teaching us a lesson. And I've said before, you look at your life and you roll all these lessons up into one, and the total big picture lesson is going to be total trust in Jesus Christ. That's the lesson. The more we lean on him, oh, the more peace we have in our hearts. The more we lean on him, the more we're able to please him and be like him. That pleases him, doesn't it? Yes, to be like him. And we have the account of Jesus' life right here in front of us. Oh, that we would study him, consider him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is God, that he is their God, my God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are we diligently seeking him? I hope we are every day. Diligently seek him. The promise is he is a rewarder of us who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Again, righteousness imputed to the believer through faith. Noah had never seen it rain, but he believed God. God said it was going to rain. God said the earth is going to fill up with water. It's going to cover everything. And everything that breathes is going to die. God said that. And in spite of all of the negativity about what God said, Noah believed it, didn't he? How much did he believe it? He believed it so much that he followed exactly what God told him to do. And he built that ark into the way God designed it. See, that's important. He didn't build it the way he designed it. Why not? Because it would have sunk. That's why. It would have sunk with man's design. The same is true with our spiritual life. Man's design and his plan, his idea of salvation, of reaching a higher plane, it'll sink, you see. Oh, but God's plan, his design, his engineering of your life even is perfect. Won't you follow him and obey? Trust him enough to obey. He had not seen it rain yet, but he moved with fear. Fear of what? God's promise. What's the beginning of wisdom? It's the fear of God. The Bible teaches us that. He feared that God's promise was true. He believed it, see. He moved. He went to work, didn't he? He did. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. All he knows, God said, get up and leave your folks. Leave this place of your birth. Come, I'm going to give you a land and all of your descendants. We've been talking about that covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Who is this child? It's Isaac. Is Isaac. One of the people who carried the seed to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaac. Remember, Abraham cried out to God, please let Ishmael live before you. But you see, Ishmael was a product of man's ideal of prolonging life. It was her plan, his and her plan. It wasn't God's plan. God said, you're going to have a son. And he is going to inherit this promise, all these promises. He believed him by faith. Isaac was born. Verse 17, now this son that God had promised him all these years, Abraham laughed when he was told, Sarah laughed when she was told she was going to have a child, God's chosen. And then in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, remember what God told him to do? He told him to go sacrifice his own son. He told him to take Isaac up there and sacrifice him on an altar. This son that he had waited 100 years for. This miracle son that God gave him. God was trying his faith, you see. His faith. Did he believe God enough to know that God could bring Isaac right back if he wanted to after he killed him? Yes. I believe he did. He went through with it, didn't he? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? God offered up his only begotten son for you and for me. You know, I don't think Isaac was a little child that Abraham had to run down and catch and tie up. At this point in time, I believe Isaac was a pretty good-sized man. And I don't think that Abraham had to chase him down. I think that Isaac was willing to lay down on that altar. I tell you why. Because I believe that he was a willing sacrifice. Because he too believed God. He trusted his dad, who he knew believed God. I believe that's the case. Isaac asked him, he said, Father, there's the wood, there's the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham spoke these words, and they're unforgettable. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Now, it was spoken in that way, God will provide himself a lamb. The angel stopped him from killing his son. Said, okay, we see now that you believe. Your faith has been tried. You passed the test. And then when they turned around, there was a ram with his horns caught in a thicket. God provided himself a lamb. Well, let me tell you, because of our sinful nature, we weren't able to do anything to appease God, to reconnect with God. There was nothing we could do. But God provided himself a lamb, you see, that could pay the price. How could he pay the price if I couldn't? We mentioned part of it. He was of a virgin birth. He did not inherit Adam's fallen nature. His blood wasn't tainted with sin. He never sinned once. Could he have sinned? I mean, could he have wanted to? No. Because he was impeccable. He was God. Even Jesus taught that to want to sin, and sin in the heart is still sin, remember? He taught that over and over. No, he was pure. He was acceptable. He qualified. His blood qualified because there was no sin in it. His blood wasn't tainted. God provided himself a lamb, and he provided him for you and for me. He came and lived a perfect life, 33 and a half years, if you will, on this earth. And he voluntarily gave his life for you. He wasn't chased down and tied up, no. No, from the foundation of the world, God had made an everlasting covenant with himself. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God the Father gave you to God the Son. And God the Son covenanted there. He agreed to do his part. And his part was to come to this life and live a human life with pain and suffering, just like us, but worse. He agreed then to give that life up, and he did it voluntarily. Why? Because of the love that God had for you. Paul says nothing can separate us from that love, and he's right. Oh, praise God. If you know him this morning, if you don't, won't you seek him? Because he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We just read that. What a God. What a Savior. The word salvation includes in its meaning safety, security, preservation, deliverance, and wholeness. Begins with pardon, the forgiveness and remission of the penalty of sin. In Luke 7:36, we see that Jesus forgave sins. He's the only one that could. Oh, in the old days, they were required to go through the high priest, weren't they? Normal person couldn't go into the Holy of Holies where God met with man. But when Jesus died on the cross, something happened. A lot of things happened. But one of the things that happened was the veil in the temple, which separated the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, from everyone except the high priest, was ripped from top to bottom. You remember that? It was rent, the Bible said, from top to bottom. Showing, signifying, teaching us that Jesus Christ made direct access for us to God. He did that when he gave his life on Calvary. He justified us, pronounced us just. What does that mean? That's a legal term, isn't it? Just as if we'd never sinned. God now sees us through Jesus Christ. Oh, if we're going to be pleasing to him, let us be found trusting, relying only on Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, and on what he's done for us on the cross of Calvary. Oh, there's spiritual life in that account of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary.